the legendary Humble and Fred Show, Canada's national morning show.
Now, you know, that's all wrong. That's all completely wrong. That's wrong.
It's wrong.
Yeah, it was supposed to start like this.
Good morning. I'm Dan Duran. Today in Ontario, it's Take Your Kid to Work Day. I've got a kid. I don't have work. Not normal work, anyway. I work from home. So taking my kid to work is basically taking him home. Like every other day, I'd watch TV and he'd watch YouTube. Instead, I arranged to take my kid to observe the only friends I know that actually have jobs. Yes, it's these two. Everyone else I know works from home. My son Colton is here, and he brought his friend Tyler, whose parents also work from home. Now I've asked for special consideration today, so a warning. This might be the only episode of the Humble and Fred Show appropriate for 14 years and older. Instead of explicit, 14 plus?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
All right.
So here we go. Fine examples of upstanding citizens earning a living for 2 hours a day. It's time for the Take Your Kid to Work edition of the Humble and Fred Show.
You know what's weird about that? It's like we're literally just above sitting around watching YouTube.
This is the legendary Humble and Fred Show, Canada's national morning show.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
The following episode of Humble and Fred Radio is brought to you by Sleep Country, Pizza Pizza, FYI Music News, The Retirement Sherpa, Squatty Potty, FreshBooks, and our newest sponsor, Mitsubishi Motors of Canada. And as always, we broadcast to the world from the center of Canada's universe, Toronto, nestled in the cozy bosom of the Squatty Potty 5-Hour Energy Storefront Studios. If you'd like to talk to Humble and Fred, call 1-855-662-4743, 1-855-ON-AIR-HF.
I think that's great that Dan Duran has compared what we do to being slightly more adventuresome than him looking at his computer and his son staring at YouTube. That's where we are.
Yeah.
It's like
isn't
I
that
could,
something?
He called me up a couple weeks ago. He's like, I can't find anyone who has a job. So can no one I know has a job where they go somewhere. Can Colton come with you guys?
Sure. Well, this is great experience. It's good conditioning for the young lads who are 14 and 15 because chances are they will never have solid full-time employment.
No, I thought you were going to say, chances are they will never amount to anything.
No.
And this is great experience. If you want to know what not amounting to anything looks like for 40 or 50 years from now, well, you're in the right spot, fellas.
It's like YouTube without pictures.
Mm-hmm. You'll never have a job with, you know, a pension and security that those before you had. So this is a good example of what you have to do to piece together tomorrow's dinner.
You'll never have a vocation where somebody will, you know, give you money for the next 40 years. You'll be scrapping to make ends meet. Mm-hmm. Have you learned how to churn your own butter up there in the North Country? Because you'll need it.
Man.
And the coming the coming apocalypse with Donald Trump land.
They're filled with optimism.
If and you learn nothing else.
Where are you taking them?
If you learn nothing else from Take Your Grade 9 to Work Day, learn this, kids. All is lost.
It's hopeless.
It's all is.
Here's an idea.
All is hopeless.
Leather shoes are making a comeback. Yeah. Learn how to shine them.
Mm-hmm. I thought you were going to say learn how to make them.
Like cobble them.
Yeah.
Oh, no, they're made in China. You shine them over here.
Yeah.
Oh, they cobble them there.
Do you know any Chinese people?
I could really...
have them help you learn to make shoes.
I could really stand have this down a bit more, but if it's too much, I'm sorry.
I've observed since the last time
there we
was
go.
Here.
Is that better?
That's better. Yes, thanks.
All right. No worries.
Since what? Was opening day the last day I was here? Was it
yeah,
last,
Friday yeah. the, whatever that was. 21st.
Is my volume okay? All
right. Yeah, your volume's fine.
Okay. But you're still struggling, Howard, with the, we need to label the
well,
console,
guess what?
Man.
They are labeled.
Oh,
the problem is there's no light under
well,
there.
Well, I know
no,
what I'm going to
no,
do.
And here's what's happened, by the way, since we're talking about technical issues.
Oh, okay, good.
What's happened is I had it figured out because Fred's was the first headphone level mm-hmm. on here.
Yeah.
But because we've switched them around a little bit, it's I'm scrambling to find out where his headphones
okay,
are.
I have the perfect yeah. solution. I'm going to put a light on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think
and we have the light.
Well, also, by the way, hang on. And when we return your headphones to where they're supposed to be, mm-hmm. it's no problem. What did we say Fred's were? Four?
Yeah, four.
See, that's the other problem. I can't see that.
I am headset number four. Number four. Number four.
So is that, okay, is that too loud? Is that too loud? Is that
yes,
too loud?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Is that better?
That's better, yes.
And Dan Duran, what is yours?
My headphones are great. I was referring earlier to the
yeah, don't worry about that.
No, the knobbies. You didn't have the knobs like when we were doing the opening thing. You anyway.
When I did what?
Well, the mixing and the production, you know, the
did you want to try it again?
No. No, I'm sure we're good.
And so the mixing wasn't to your. I had
well,
a few things.
Yeah.
Well, because I'd forgotten, I started off with the normal opening versus yeah. your opening.
Yes, I know. But you're not touch sensitive yet to the console, as they say.
I'm under. You know, a lot of daily listeners are probably thinking this whole bit about you know the technical aspects. I'll be glad when they move on from it.
I had moved on.
Yes,
in fact,
the show.
If you listen back, it was your headphone
I
adjustment.
Said they, I said they.
And then
I didn't
him.
Say you. I said
then
they.
Him. You're not. Did you hear what he says? He went to, well, you're not touch sensitive yet.
Coming up on today's show.
So here's
that,
the thing.
That was just exciting.
What was?
An emergency response vehicle just went by the studio for the first time.
Yeah.
No, that's great.
It is exciting.
It reminds me of The Edge. Remember the Young Street? Remember they
absolutely.
Go wailing by and it gave you a surge of excitement.
You know what I thought it was?
What?
I thought they were coming here to figure out where these knobs are.
Yeah.
Where they? No, I know where everything is. I just had a little bit of a stumble. Can we go back to what?
No, I was on today's show.
Can we go back to take your grade 9 to work day? Because
yeah,
that was
okay,
fun.
Sure.
Is your headphones fine?
Yeah. Did you have more there on today's show?
No, I was all good. I did it. I did the whole thing. I can do it again if you really want, but I think that's it's done.
It's good.
And,
it was great.
So
my kids
the grade 9s are here.
Yeah.
Tyler and Colton. And I laid out, I can't remember where you what you were doing last night, but I laid out what this day would be for them. And they were not even remotely impressed by the... By the fact that this day was going to be a couple hours long, then we were going to go for breakfast, and then they were going to go back to Peterborough.
Yeah.
Let me, can we get Colton on a microphone there?
Absolutely.
Colton, is that you?
Yes, it is.
Where? Right there?
Yes.
Colton, how are you?
I'm good.
And would you describe to to our audience who exactly you are?
I am the greatest grade 9 ever.
Interesting.
The greatest grade 9 ever. You've only been at it for like a couple of months, and you've already
yeah.
established you're the greatest ever? Wow.
I have.
Mm.
And why don't you introduce your friend that you've brought to the Humble and Fred show for Take Your Grade 9 to Work Day?
Here's my friend, Tyler.
Say hello.
Hello.
Okay.
Tyler's dad's more excited about coming here than...
Now, I asked Dan, I said, did I ask Tyler? I can't remember. I said, did your parents know that you were coming to this show?
Yeah, because you know what? They're going to be listening.
I know.
Because their kids are on it.
I know. And they're going to hear all sorts. First, they're going to go, what was that stuff going on with the equipment?
Yeah,
that was riveting.
Yeah, that's compelling.
So, Tyler, you said your parents both were okay with you coming to hang out with Dan and his friends, Fred and Howard?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Were they excited or were they scared for your well-being?
No, my dad thought it'd be fun to go.
Yeah. Oh, he was wrong.
But it's only 2 hours. So.
Yeah, that's right. First 10 minutes is always rough. All right.
So this high school you go to where you're in grade 9?
I am.
Do you have to wear uniforms there?
No, I actually don't.
Oh, so the girls aren't running around in tartan skirts?
No.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's too bad. Because when, by the way, when you have tartan, when you have a tartan skirt day, Colton and Tyler, then maybe you could take your old friends to work.
Bring your sporran.
Hey, Colton, why are those two old men hanging around with you? That's right. Take your dad's old friends
they're
to
alumni.
Work.
They're alumni. They're alumni.
They're into tartan.
They're big fans of the tartan.
Some of the trousers are tartan.
Hey, and Colton, for I'm sure most Hundy Peas know, is my godson.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great to have you and your friend Tyler here. And they went to sleep very nicely last night. There was no shenanigans. There was no fooling around. What?
No whining.
No whining. They're very well behaved, these grade nines.
Colton has kicked into this thing, you know, where young teenagers sleep like 12, 13 hours at a stretch. We're up at the cottage, a cottage that we go to up north on the weekend, and he went to bed like at 11, if that, 10:30. And the next morning at, 11:30 or something, I said to Dan,
it's time to get up.
Is Colton still in bed? Remember that as a kid?
Oh, yeah.
And you the thing sleep, is, you wouldn't even wake up.
Oh, and it was glorious. It was glorious.
But, you know, their young bodies are growing. Things are happening to their bodies that, you know, we can't even explain.
Well,
that's right. Maybe yes. Not you.
I was going to say, it still hasn't happened to our boy Phil. We're waiting.
I'm patiently waiting.
We're waiting for him to get some some questions for his parents.
Maybe I'll grow taller.
All that growth needs rest. Phil, you must have, while your head was growing, you must have been in a coma.
Oh, that's right. I was the shape of a lollipop.
Phil would go to bed at Friday at 6 p.m. and just wake up Monday morning in time for school.
Dad, help me lift my head out of the bed.
Father, could you spot me?
Pass
could
me
you spot
box.
My head?
Girls, quick, go wake up Phil. Takes both of his sisters to carry his enormous head to the washroom.
Frankenstein? We have to wake Frankenstein up?
Mm-hmm. Welcome to the show, everyone. So that's what's happening today. Colton and Tyler are here in an observational manner only. I mean, you know, it's interesting, though, because if Fred and I, who certainly in terms of high potential for death, it's Fred and I and Dan and then Phil. So if all four of us just spontaneously die, you two are taking over. That's right, folks. It's time for Tyler and Colton in the morning. Hello, everyone around North America. Today on Tyler and Colton, we'll be talking about things that concern grade nines. Mm-hmm. Hey, where are all the easy chicks? What about that biddy that had a crush on me in grade one? Yeah, you know who I'm talking about.
I mean, schoolyard crush, who?
And Tyler. Why is Tyler wearing those socks? That's all today on Tyler and Colton in the morning. Yeah, can you imagine their version of this show? Jesus.
Well, they probably elevate the, you know, the whatever that word is. Elevate, you know.
The thing.
The thing.
Elevate the tone and tenor of conversation. Is that what you mean?
The level of intelligence, yes. Probably.
Standard.
And Tyler and Colton in the morning.
But what do you have to do, actually? So today you're on site. Do you have to take notes and then submit a report?
You know, I thought I'd have to, but not at all.
Yeah, you'd think, you'd
like,
think
they don't
be
give you anything.
Yeah, we were just asking. They don't have to do anything.
So while you're here today, what are the teachers doing that would normally be teaching you?
I have no idea.
Well, they stay at school and they kind of keep the stragglers busy. Like the folks
they?
Who couldn't go to those workplaces.
Oh, do they?
Like I was.
Mm-hmm. Are you saying that your parents didn't take you to the shoe factory?
Well, no, because they both had to work in the afternoons. It didn't make sense. So I had to go to class, and there's that English teacher staring at me going, ugh.
No, Phil's parents worked at a car plant, and he couldn't go because there wasn't a safety helmet big enough.
No, there is. It's just one of those things where you see those trucks that drive around for parts.
Yeah.
Those hat, part, the yeah, the hat, hat the big giant Napa, part hat, remember, Napa yeah, part yeah, hat, yeah. Exactly. That's what I'm talking about.
Phil, not to pick on your head today, but you always bring up the size of your head, so I'm just playing off.
Well,
that's
it
all.
Is. It's pick on Phil's head day.
Yeah.
Phil's head is, it's interesting because his head is actually the size of two grade nines.
Pretty much, I can see it here. The grade nines are going. I was hanging out at my dad's friend's work, and then there was this giant head that spoke to us.
This floating human blimp.
Oh, Philly. Don't be so hard on
yourself.
Goodyear
logo, where is it?
Anyway, we got a big show today. We got to start it. We can't just dwell on the grade nines. We have quite
coming
a busy...
Coming up on yes. today's show.
I'm just reading an email from the security contact.
Oh,
apparently so. Throwing the ball back in your court, mister.
All right.
What's it say?
It says, I'll come by and give you an update, but in big letters, B-U-T, Freddie should have connected with Sean from SafeTech early last week.
What's he talking about?
What happened?
I never got that.
All right.
Coming up. On today's show.
On today's show, my friends,
I'm
going to tell you, we're going to be talking to the retirement Sherpa, as well as comedian Chris Locke, and the Heartbroken, a band coming in here. First time we've had a band in since we opened up a week and a bit ago. Mm-hmm. And I understand they're going to have, they're going to need some technical support, so maybe you can hang out and figure that out.
Yeah,
because you know I'm not apparently. I've got some button issues. I'll tell you what button I do know. That one. I know how to turn that one on and off. How about I just turn yours off and keep Colton's on?
Yeah,
Colton, what's your assessment of? I don't even know. I'm not Uncle Howard. I'm just Howard. What's your assessment of Dan's friend Howard's job with Fred so far in the first 16 minutes?
Well, there's a lot of talking.
Yes.
Talk, 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 talk. The kids are sitting there going, hey, you know, when do they play the music?
What's going on?
When are they going to play the top hit from this week?
Oh, hang on. Okay, buddy. Hey, when are you guys going to play Hotline Bling? Fellas.
You used to call me on my cell phone.
You know what that is?
Late night when you need my love.
Okay. See, sometimes we break in a song for no reason.
Late night when you need.
You like, do you like Drake, Tyler?
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, when we did take your kid to work or go to work with your parents, and we even had it back in the prehistoric days, we would have to submit a brief, a report, something official.
Did you go to your dad's place?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
And what was your dad doing at the time?
He was a warehouse supervisor. It was fascinating to see all those tow motors in the...
Yeah.
In the train, boxcars being loaded and unloaded. It was fascinating.
You know, they say that oftentimes you learn, especially as a kid, but I think we all do this.
Mm-hmm.
We learn almost as much subconsciously as we do consciously.
Yes.
Like when somebody's giving you instruction, you go and observe your father as you did working in a warehouse. It's interesting. We didn't have take your grade nine to work day because in Saskatchewan, no one ever got to grade nine. No, that's because we were oftentimes around grade five, six out in the fields with the cotton.
Sheath of wheat.
We would.
The famous Saskatchewan
Old
cotton.
Old Man River. Keep going, Dan. I remember in grade six, my father said, Howard, come out to the cotton fields with me. I said, Papa, will there be bagels there?
It's horrible that the Jewish people were put
persecuted.
Were put into the cotton fields the way they were.
We were. You don't know the songs. Tote that bale, throw that calendar. Go ahead.
I remember back in the 70s. Remember they came out with that. It showed the plight of the Jewish people in the cotton fields. It was called Judingo. Remember
yes,
that?
Yes, Judingo. Yes. No,
remember it brought to light everything that
don't you
it
mean
exposed what they went through.
Maybe you also mean that seminal 70s series Roots the Store. I remember watching that. It was about a poor Jewish fellow that opened up a high-end clothing store on Bloor Street. Roots the Store. What I was going to say, the point I was going to make is I think what I learned mostly from my father was you don't want to do something you hate. Because I knew my dad didn't like what he did. And I'm being serious. Like, I got to see sort of subconsciously that my dad would go to work and he would do this job and never complained, unlike myself. But I could see that he didn't like doing it. And yeah. So that was a great lesson for me. And I mean it. You know, it's like, you know, I don't know what you learned from watching your dad do what he did, but you certainly didn't end up doing it.
Well, the thing is, I latched onto a passion, and that helps. I think a lot of kids nowadays, you know, they struggle with what they actually want to do. They don't know. And, you know, we learn from...
That's not new, though. No. I think there's a lot of, like, from the beginning of time.
Oh, no, no, no. I'm saying I was lucky because I latched onto a passion.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't. And that's difficult. Well, we also learn from experience. And it's funny, if I would look at these young kids now, I would say, you know, more work now means less work later, meaning you might have a job where you're very busy, but if you love it, it's not work like this. And so often kids in high school and college, they really don't want to apply themselves and then find themselves years later unhappy in what they're doing.
Sure. I mean, you know, Danny, your son. Did you know that Danny was your son?
Yes. He's going to Southeast Asia.
Of course he is.
Whereabouts? There's like six countries in Southeast Asia.
Ping. Ding, ding, ding. I don't know.
Going for Bang or some random
No, he's going to Bangkok. Bang.
Oh, look at Bangkok. You know, Bangkok.
You know where he's going? Fuck it, Bangkok.
Oh, Phuket.
He's going to go to fuck my bank. Fuck it, well, a Bangkok. That's where you're going.
Anyway.
Hey, Colton seems delighted. How are you enjoying the show now that I got all serious there for a second?
It's just the same.
I think we should go to Colton and Tyler periodically for Rate the Show. Rate
like
the
Yelp
Show.
Review, yeah.
So Daniel, your son, I mean, he sort of wandered a little bit in his early 20s, wasn't 100% sure what was going on, then latched onto something and it hit. You know, my kids, I've got two of them. Not sure if you're aware of them. But
I've got the one.
Which one? The cranky one?
No.
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead.
So the older one. You know, she basically found something she was passionate about the last year of grade 12, kind of like me and you, and has been, you know, not, she's loved what she's, she really loves, she has a passion for what she does. Whereas I look at Spencer sometimes and think, you know, she's taking a gap year, don't know what she wants, really wants to do, you know, changes every other day like a lot of kids. And I, my heart aches for her because I just wish she'd find something, but not everybody finds it.
Right
away. And the thing of the reason I mentioned Dan is because I can now feel for you a little bit in retrospect because, you know, you want your kids to latch on to something. And yet, you know, for a long time in his 20s, he hadn't latched on yet.
But we've all.
But you still have, my point about you and now me is that you still have to worry about them.
Oh, without a doubt. And the problem observation I make about today's generation, too, is the impatience. And we were talking about this the other day. I mean, to get where you are to where you want to be, there's a lot of shit you got to do in between, and you got to get your head around that, too. But, you know, my son, Danny, actually, he has a trade, which is very important, too. And a lot of kids nowadays, it's usually at the parent level, your kid should learn a trade. Mm. Well, we all have these aspirations. Our kids are going to be scientists and astronauts. I mean, really.
Really pie in the sky.
It's like every kid that laces on skates is going to make the NHL. You know, all the trades out there, what they're paying drywallers right now.
What's his trade?
Whose?
Danny.
Cameraman.
Oh.
Like, you know what I mean? Actually,
no, I knew
has
that.
A trade.
Oh, no, he actually is trained in to do something.
To do something.
Yes, I see. Yeah.
To do a thing that not everyone... And the trades now, I mean, there's very few parents pushing their kids into trades, and there's some big dough to be made.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm sorry, I misunderstood. I, of course, knew Danny went to school for a camera, but when you say trade, I'm thinking welding or
plumbing,
some other
plumbing,
like some other things that are trades.
Some of these kids come out of college, and they're so-called radio announcers. You know what I mean? He actually has a technical thing that not anybody could do.
Sure.
That's what I mean.
And trust me, if you want to send your... Hey, Dan?
Yes?
You're not sending my godson to any kind of radio college, are you?
I you know, like most parents, like my parents, like your parents, follow your passion. So I don't think that's his passion.
Thank God. Anyone that
everything I've observed, it's not his passion.
Anybody that knows our show at all knows that we've talked about Colton's ability to draw. I mean, Colton has a passion for quite some time. As long as anyone can remember, Colton's been very interested in how things appear visually, and he's artistic, and so he's on a path. I mean, you know, do you not already have a type of an idea of what you'd like to do?
Yeah, basically.
And what would that be, basically?
That would be basically doing, I don't know, some sort of... I wouldn't want to do animation. I've said that before. I don't have the patience.
No. He told me that the other day, and I was surprised.
Well, because a lot of animation is very painstakingly drawn. It's boring. Do you see yourself making caricatures of people at the exhibition?
Because, on the beach.
Like, no, probably not.
Because you laugh, but I tell you what, there's big money to be made in that. I'm gonna set up a shop for us down in Kensington Market on the weekends. I'm gonna take a small cut, 48%.
Funny you say that. Years ago, we were in Quebec City. Years and years ago, it's got to be over 20 years ago. And there's a guy doing those caricatures on the street. So Delise decides we're gonna have the two kids done, not caricatures, more portraits, but with the chalk and. So anyway, he does Melanie, and it's really good. And I'm thinking, that's okay. And then he does Danny. It looks like some fucking alien from outer space. Like, it didn't look like him. And I said to Dahl, well, we'll get Melanie's, not Danny's. Oh, we have to. Why? Well, the guy went to the trouble. I said, there's no way. I'm not paying this guy for that. I ended up paying.
Well, because you're paying him for the effort. You've already contracted him to make an effort, and he did.
Well, it was a bad effort.
Well, but it was an effort. You can't go. Well, you made an effort and doesn't.
So
look
if I
like,
buy a pair of shoes and they're bad, I have to keep them.
You have to keep the one.
I have to keep. So what, anyway,
are you nuts?
Delise and I are having this argument that's funny. I think, Jesus Christ. And it was like $60 or something. It came with a frame. Mm-hmm. I still have the frame. And Danny's shitty caricature is behind it. And there's some other picture in front of it.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Jeez, I can just see. You know what the great thing about that story is? I can see it. You're just there arguing with some French guy who's, you know, doing caricatures to buy meth.
But it was funny, as he's drawing, I'm thinking, who is that? I'm like, how do you nail the one kid and then totally blow it with the other? And they look alike on some level.
My older brother Steven's son, my nephew Simon, is also very artistic and has he actually makes money, quite a bit of money in the summertime and corporately, doing caricatures for people's parties, and he works at the Edmonton Fringe in the summertime, and like, it's actually a way. It's funny you talk about a trade. Colton's so artistic that his ability to draw pretty much anything at this point is a trade. You can make money doing that. Yes. And I was being partly facetious about you making, you know, doing caricatures for people, but you can actually make some dough. You can decide that this is what I, as a part-time gig, I can do this. Because my nephew, Simon, has made some good money in the last number of years doing it.
It's an actual skill.
Right. Whereas radio have no skill.
You know, and I meant even, have you seen like a good drywaller at work? You know what I mean? It's an art. It's a trade.
Sure.
It pays well, but... Again, no one would push their kid into hauling big pieces of drywall around and getting dusty all and working your ass off. It's just not the nature of our culture right now.
Unless you're in that business.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny you say that because oftentimes, you know, we've pointed this out before that, you know, you'll bring up something that I actually was thinking about. I'm coming home yesterday from Orangeville, south on Highway 50, I guess that's what it was. Mm. And at one point, as I got closer to Toronto, I saw a bunch of boxcars, train storage cars stacked up, just piled high, sort of north of the airport, and they're shipment containers.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
And they're huge, but they were all stacked up 50, 60 feet in the air, all arranged in who knows how. And all I thought to myself was, somebody knows how to operate the machinery that moves those things around and puts them on trucks. And I thought, you know, that's a whole world of the trades that I'm unfamiliar with. And I don't know anyone that does that.
And Howard, the logistics, knowing which one is where at what time, and it's got to go over on this flatbed, and then this one's got to go over there. It's crazy.
But the reason I think it's interesting is I thought to myself, I promise you, the guy that knows how to do that, or the woman, or the very small person.
Or the transgender person.
Or the transgendered little person.
Or the big-headed Asians.
That's right. Or anyone.
This is watermelon.
Some of our less fortunate and people from other lands. Anyway, I thought...
It's a very inclusive show that you've got
going
on.
I thought, yes, because people of all nature can operate boxcars and shipment containers. I thought to myself, all in the space of a few seconds, whoever knows how to do that isn't ever worried about a job.
No.
Because that person's of whatever, of diversity, it's a very, those are things that don't go out of style. There will always be somebody that needs that person's skill.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think they use magnets on those. A giant magnet that picks them up, I think.
Well, maybe you maybe you want to get Colton involved in that business.
Maybe I get myself involved.
What's your godson doing? Well, he's very artistic. He draws train shipment containers on his break from magnetizing them.
That logo is immaculate.
One of the first movies I ever saw that sort of had sexual overtones that made it move was
God.
What? Was a movie called Boxcar Bertha. Check it out. Oh, yeah. Boxcar Bertha.
Yeah. I'm, you know, seriously.
What?
We got to. The kids are here. They don't want to think about your
dad is here.
Your freaking Fred puppet movie.
That was in the olden days.
Boxcar Bertha. Man, you must be getting a little bit of movement just thinking about it.
Magnets.
You know, sometimes I feel like I miss some part of education, because I really, you know, I hear people talk about taking apart engines or moving drywall. Mm. And even yesterday, as I was driving by the shipment container yard, I thought to myself, if I was being tortured and somebody said, quick, well, I don't know why they would torture me. But let's say I was. I thought.
You're a spy.
They were going, hey, quick, tell us for your life. How do they move these boxcars? I would have gone, I have no fucking idea. Kill me. He comes up with magnets.
Have you ever had, is it really
I think so. Yeah. Well, I may be wrong.
Like a giant cartoon magnet?
Well, some might.
Yeah, they think they
may
have something over top.
Like a big cartoon magnet. Which,
there's a big yard. Yeah. I think maybe it's the one Howard saw not far from me, and I've seen it. The hooks come down in the corners.
That's what I would have thought. It would be like a hook. Things at the exhibition with the big claw. The claw game.
Did you ever have a job, though? And I did before I get into
radio. A real job?
Back in my teens, where you... Hated every minute of it. Hated every minute of it.
Hated every minute of it.
And went home at night and dreaded getting up in the morning because you had to go back. When I had summer jobs working at Loblaws in the warehouse. Can you imagine that as your life sentence? I mean, there's guys that have done that for years. Mm-hmm. You know, just can't. It's time to go to work and it's 8 hours. I can't wait till this is over and then sit there at night. And then, you know, the evening's going too fast because I have to go back there. And a lot of people live that way.
No, I know.
It must be horrible.
Here's the thing. I know my father didn't like going to work in this little store he had all his life. But the only job I ever had that I didn't want to go to work the next day was when I had to go and help him.
Yeah.
I'm serious. Like, I worked at a golf course in my 12, 13, 14, 15. I got a job at... you know, what was called Wilco out west.
Oh, Wilco.
And I got to be the in-store announcer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that was a fun job. But I was required whenever my father needed somebody on Saturdays at the store. And because I was the only one left at home, I would have to go there. This is when I was 15 or 16. And I would dread those 8 hours because I just thought it was incredibly boring. There was only three or four people in the office. And, you know, it was always like in the moments when there was nobody in the store or nothing for me to do, I was just like, Jesus, God. How much longer is this going to go on?
I've probably told you this. One of my summer jobs was unloading boxcars at Loblaws.
Is that why you had a thing for Boxcar Bertha?
Yeah. Well, I used to have this psychological thing. So we'd go in the morning and the boxcar would open. You would unload it. And often it was kitty litter and dusty and horrible. And then you would sort of have this psychological thing where you would work away at the boxcar and then... as you completed it, emptied it, you have this feeling of accomplishment. Mm-hmm. But the minute that happened, they just shunted the next one up and opened the fucking...
You have to do it all over again.
And you started all over again. I used to go home at night and lie in bed, and all I could see was like boxcars and kitty litter falling on me. It was like, it was horrible. Horrible hour.
So what you're saying is you didn't love every minute of it?
No.
No, it sounds horrible. In fact, it's funny, though. In some ways, you know, you've just described this show. As soon as you finish one funny bit, you got to do another one. Hey,
funny.
Another sentence rolls up.
What's funny that? Is open to interpretation. It's open to.
Well, thank goodness most of the interpretation of this program is fairly positive. It's the Take Your Grade 9 to Work and Crush Their Spirits Day. On the Humble and Fred Show. What's that, pal?
Yay.
Yeah.
Holy shunt.
Oh, my boy, my boy. Let's take a second here and talk about our good friends at FYI Music News. How about a little Andy Kim along with Ed Robertson of the Bare Naked Ladies singing for you.
And how about this? 5 musicians, 15 dates, 90 songs. The Tragically Hip's historic tour captured in a new Bell Media documentary.
Neat.
Read all about it at fyimusicnews.ca. That'll be fast. You know, for those of you maybe didn't see the last concert, and we really didn't get to experience what happened across the country, a country that loves this band, looking forward to that documentary. A conversation with David Bray. He's a big brain statistic guy that, you know, analyzes radio across the country. There's an interview with him this week, too. You can learn something there. FYIMusicNews.ca. So much. It's a journal about Canada's music industry.
And to from FYI Music News to FreshBooks Cloud Accounting, small business accounting software that makes billing painless. The all-new FreshBooks is accounting software that makes running your small business easy, fast, and secure. Those are the three cornerstones of any business. Spend less time on accounting and more time doing the work you love. And we have talked about just how much more nimble our sales and accounting. Have you not noticed the sales and accounting departments in our company have come together and have benefited from the quick and ease of use that is FreshBooks?
Oh, very, very much so, I've noticed.
Well, sometimes when, in the past, when accounting would speak to sales, that's Fred talking to Howard.
Memo time.
For you grade nines, when accounting would speak to sales, sometimes sales would get nervous. Because accounting can be very, very intimidating when it comes to invoices and where they are. And sales would be like, I don't know accounting, why are you yelling at me? Anyway. So now that FreshBooks has come into accounting and sales life, it's become just like, oh yeah, accounting, here's where that invoice is. Suck it.
Yes, sir.
Try it free for 30 days. FreshBooks.com/H&F for your 30-day free trial. Come on back and visit with us as we are celebrating grade nines around North America on SiriusXM and around the world. HumbleAndFredRadio.com.
Hi, you're listening to Canada Laughs. This is Tim Nutt, and enjoy the rest of your day.
And welcome back. It's Humble and Fred Radio. Yeah, we can't play those promos anymore that come from here. I don't know why, Phil.
Hold on. Seems like the board is haunted or something.
No, it's not haunted. It's that there's some phase cancellation is what Dan Duran has already ascertained. Tim, are you there?
I am here, direct from Florida.
Okay, hang on a second. I just got to get Tim on here. Tim Niblett is a friend of our show. He's a mentor, a sponsor, a partner, and he has taken us under his wing, under his ample, sweet investor advisor wings, and he's made us a project, and we're happy to have him, Tim.
Yes, he's a portfolio manager with Raymond James.
And Raymond James, yes. Ray J, yes, is a member of the Canadian Investors Protection Fund.
Mm-hmm.
And Timothy is Skyping in from the southern headquarters of Tim Niblett Enterprises.
You know, Timmy's got a couple of decades of experience behind him at this point. Howard,
Timmy, you there?
Good morning, guys. Great to talk to you. And I still love you regardless of whatever coffee mugs you use.
Uh-huh. See, I knew that was an issue.
What was an issue?
Tim got the Hummel and Fred Raymond James mugs, brought them into the studio, and then come in a couple of days after that, and you and I were using our old Edge mugs instead of the new Humble and Fred mugs.
Well, that was a huge mistake, Tim, and as head of sales here, one that I regret.
Remember I said that to you?
Yeah.
I said, geez, when Tim was in, we should have been using the new mugs.
I know.
But you know, you get sort of used to your mug, you know.
A mug with your name on it.
Yeah.
Tim, that's Dan Duran. Mm.
Good morning, Dan. How you doing?
Good. I'm using your mug from my coffee.
Yes. Well, I definitely, like I say, I love you regardless of whatever coffee mugs you use. And as long as you saved a couple of Landshark lagers for me, we're all good.
Oh, it's done, brother. It's done.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah, Dan Duran last night enjoyed a nice Landshark lager.
Oh, I did. Was that the last one?
No, we have a few left. I gave Dan. They're from Brick Brewing Company.
Brick Brew.
Brick Brew. It's a, and he loved it. No, he loved the Landshark.
There's a dozen tall boys down there.
Yeah, he had one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And it was yummy.
Delicioso.
Timmy, let's talk about today's U.S. election retirement Sherpa. You're in the heart of the Florida electoral votes of 40. What's happening down where you live, which is, by the way, where?
We're just a little bit north of Tampa in a compound, as I affectionately call it, an active adult community, and got lots of great friends from both sides of the border here, actually. The Americans that are here are primarily Republican, so I just try to keep quiet.
That's right.
You know, Tim, I talked to a couple of people last week who said they were down at Florida, and they said the Trump signs compared to Hillary signs is overwhelming. And then somebody else I know yesterday was thought they were driving through Kentucky and Tennessee yesterday, and all they saw was Trump paraphernalia. Again, no Hillary stuff. I mean, you can't draw any conclusions from that, but, you know, it's interesting. We might have a race on our hands here, and it could affect the markets.
Well,
come Tuesday.
It seems to be getting a little closer by the day right now, but the way this election's gone, that could swing three more times, it feels like, by Tuesday. But morning, Stan. You know, talking about that, you know, if we think back to Brexit, it's a pretty good example too, right? Because leading up to that, the expectation was that the vote was going to be to stay. And so the market reflected that. It went up for, I think, four straight days going into it. And then when the vote came, it dropped quite a bit for the next couple of days. And then sanity prevailed again. I mean, it's been said in the short term, the stock market's a voting machine. The long term, it's a weighing machine. A pretty simple phrase, but pretty in-depth, brilliant one, I feel. And so, absolutely, there could be some ups and downs depending on what happens Tuesday, probably regardless of what happens Tuesday. But at the end of the day, is Apple a profitable company? Is CN Rail a profitable company? Is RBC Bank a profitable company? That's what really matters, and that's what people's portfolios should reflect.
And speaking of portfolios, you know, when you talk about a portfolio or the construction of a portfolio, what exactly does that mean?
There's a lot of different ways to go at that. I mean, in the good old days, people just thought if they had a few stocks here and bonds there, they were okay. Then they started realizing Canada's 3% of the world stock market, so they should be outside of there. But nowadays, you've really got to, if you're doing things right, and I can modestly say a lot don't the way I do, you've got to look at correlation analysis. Like, you got to see if different asset classes do the same thing at the same time. You'd prefer they don't. We've talked on the show about alternative investments, mirroring what pension plans and endowment funds do. And these are things that, regardless of what happens in the short or long term in the market, have no correlation to it, but still create some good revenue, some good growth, and keep your volatility down and your sleeping on your Sleep Country mattress up.
Thank you for including another client in your spiel. Timmy.
Yes, sir.
Let's talk a little bit in our final seconds about diversification, correlations, volatility, and the Sharpe ratio.
Sure. So I touched on a few of those just now, but the Sharpe ratio is pretty cool. Some guy called Sharpe apparently came up with it. And it's a measurement of how much reward you're getting for the level of risk you're getting. So in a perfect world, of course, you know, I've had clients say, well, I don't want my money to go down, but I want it to double in 6 months. Doesn't happen too often, but you would, sorry, that's not realistic in case you guys are wondering, but you know, there should be a fair reward for the risk you're taking on. And again, that's something kind of scientifically we can do, and by having the things that don't correlate, by having things that just individually give good returns for the risk you're taking on, that's how you do it. We can't not have volatility. We can't not have ups and downs, because then you have no growth. But you definitely want to have as much good stuff. And we even actually do an upside downside capture ratio, which I'll bore you with some other day. But it's a really cool way, again, seeing how much return you're getting for how much risk you're taking on.
Well, what you said about companies, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, Warren Buffett's whole philosophy has been that, you know, in the early days of Berkshire Hathaway, to buy companies that he felt could sort of withstand the ups and downs of markets, things like ABC, Disney, and companies, as he said, that we're going to still be around. There will always be a need for Coca-Cola. People will still be drinking it in 50 years. So whatever happens in the short term won't affect companies that are good, solid investments.
No, and you talk about Coca-Cola. I mean, Coca-Cola itself, maybe not, but companies that big are always innovating, right? And always bringing new products to the market.
Well, no, but Coca-Cola as a company, whether it's water or drinks, but you know, and Timmy, that's the whole point, I guess, is you look for companies that are solid, stay with them because they'll still be solid, you know, as the years go by.
Michael Lee Chin, who's a Warren Buffett disciple, used to own AIC funds, if you remember them from the good old days.
I do. I actually had AIC for a while.
There you go. Buy, hold, and prosper was their mantra. And they had some awesome ads. They had these ads that showed all the kind of daily noise, whether it's a headline, whether it's a neighbor's, whether it's just the short-term things that don't really matter at the end of the day. And you've got to just forget about the noise and do the right thing. And one of the ones I've been using now is a Vanguard ETF. It's a lower cost, but a great investment vehicle. It just invests in U.S. companies that have had their dividends appreciate for over 5 years. The Procter & Gamble's, the Coca-Cola's, the Johnson & Johnson's, and that sort of thing of the world, and that's what wins. That's what works, right? You don't worry about the noise, you worry about the quality.
All right, my friend. That should be our show motto. Don't worry about the noise. Just stick around until some good stuff happens.
And I gotta say, I'm looking forward to the next capers. I really enjoyed that.
Oh yes. Well, there's nothing but capers.
Oh yeah.
That's who you want to be in business with. Listen, Tim Niblett's a portfolio manager. Raymond James, a member of the Canadian Investors Protection Fund. Tim, what's your email again?
tim.niblett@raymondjames.ca.
All right. Happy trails, my friend.
Yeah, I miss you guys. Have a great week.
You too, I'm sure you do.
Oh, yeah. It's horrible down there in your compound.
I wonder if he's going to go to an election party. Hey, I can imagine there's lots of those in the States. Everyone will gather with all sorts of casseroles and dips and chips and sit and watch the election.
You were saying that ABC poll has the national numbers a lot closer than they were a week ago. And part of that is that, you know, I think that, and I've made this point, most people can't really get into they don't really understand what was going on with all those emails and whatever. But I think the last round of stuff coming out of the FBI at the beginning of last weekend, a few days ago, I think that's actually got some people. It's getting some traction because now there's just so much of it that the average person can go, well, that can't be right. There's got to be something.
Well, exactly. And it's not even like, you know, we were saying yesterday, maybe take some time and Google it and read about what it's actually about, because there's something there. You can understand why it's an issue. But you're right. It's become so huge over the past couple of days, even just the headline. Readers now are exactly what you say. It's like, oh, there's something there.
She's done something wrong. Yeah, don't know what it is.
Maybe I won't vote for her.
And even if they don't take the time to find out that there really isn't a whole lot to new stuff. Like this whole Anthony Weiner, Carlos Danger thing is just sort of funny. Chris Locke is coming up in a few minutes' time, a very funny comedian. And Chris's stand-up, you'll hear a lot of it on Sirius XM. He's just had a child himself, so this will be interesting for Chris, because what you're looking at here are grade nines. This is take your grade. Imagine how, I don't know, how sad your life is when this is where you go for take two. When you go to your godfather's for take your grade nine to work day. Let's check in with grade nine, Colton Duran, Danok, do whatever. And see, how's the show going for you so far, Colton?
You know, I'm really liking all this election talk. It's very relatable.
Is it?
In what way?
Well, there's a lot going on in the news about it.
Mm-hmm. Very relatable, yes.
Yeah, you've heard. So you think so far, should we lean on the election talk for a couple minutes now and then transition to comedy and nonsense with Chris Locke?
No, I like comedy and nonsense too. Don't
tell me. Oh, but we don't want to blow our comedy nonsense load.
Let me ask you, Colton, as someone who's in grade nine, what have you noticed about the election over the past couple of weeks? What have been the stories that have had an impact on you? What do you think of all this Donald Trump and his behavior?
I think that really I don't know why any woman would really, I don't know why any like woman would vote for him after that. Right. After what he's like said, but
yeah, what did he say? What did he say?
I'm not gonna say that.
Something about grabbing.
Yeah,
you're aware of that.
I'm aware of the grabbing of.
You better not be doing that at the high school.
I don't want you grabbing anyone else's pee. I don't want you grabbing your own pee. Keep your hands where your pussy can see them at all times. What about Hillary Clinton's emails? How do you feel about the preponderance of secure emails that were, any of that sticking to you?
Yeah, I don't think that that's necessarily right either. It's just, I don't like either of the candidates.
That's my boy. That's my boy right there.
Who do you want to run for president then? Mickey Mouse?
Yeah, Mickey Mouse. Huh? Yeah, because that's a real hero to today's kids. Who do you like? Do you like this Boxcar Willie?
Bertha.
No, Boxcar Willie was the original.
Oh, right.
Fucking Mickey
Singer.
Mouse. Yeah.
Oh, right.
Wasn't it a mixed Mickey Mouse cartoon? Boxcar? No. Was it Boxcar Willie?
Boxcar Willie?
I thought that was a song. Wasn't that a song?
Yeah, Boxcar Willie, I thought, was a...
Steamboat Willie.
Thank you. Fucking A, Chris Locke.
It was sort of racist, too, wasn't it?
Yeah. Everything was... Hey, it was the 1920s. Everything was racist.
Oh, Looney Tunes. It was the height of racism.
That's right.
The 60s.
Let's put some cartoon characters in blackface. Oh, mammy. How I love you. How I love you. It won't be racist if it's sung by a mouse. Anyway, Colton, thank you for your latest analysis. Tyler, how are you enjoying the show so far? Tyler's Colton's friend.
I'm enjoying the show. It's quite interesting to see how this all works.
Oh, it works like a...
The problem is it's not working.
That's right. Coming up in the next half hour, as well as Chris Locke, we're going to have some music from The Heartbroken. And our friend Dan Duran might be joining one of Canada's most popular morning shows. And we'll have that story as well.
Okay, listen.
That's good. That's
it. We've said it now. We have to do it now.
Oh, yeah.
Which is fine.
Yeah.
Let's just not forget or run out of time. Because it might need some.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was going to start doing it now, but we want to get Chris on here in the next few minutes. And there's a couple other things that are actually pretty cool. One of which is the Chicago Cubs are going to be in the World Series Game 7. I believe it's tonight, is it not?
Yes, it is. It's Game 7. They won last night. They were down 3-1. They've tied the series, and now... Yeah.
Came back and won it against the Cleveland Indians, and they're called the Indians, by the way, Colton.
What do you think of that? Do you think Indians is a fair name for a team in the 21st century?
Well, it depends on, like, the context, basically. Because how did they come up with that name?
Well, they killed a bunch of them and decided to...
Yes.
That's how they came up with it, Colton. No. A couple hundred years ago... Let me explain. A couple hundred years ago, a bunch of white people killed a bunch of Indians. And they said, hey, as a tribute, we'll name a fucking sports team after it. Chris, are you seeing everything you need to know about fatherhood right now? Yeah, we're veterans. The three of us have... between us, we have five children of varying sizes. So, that's how they came up with it. Cubs came back 9-3. It was, were you saying the Cleveland team was winning at one point?
Yeah, when I first switched it on, it was 7-0. I thought, wow, look at that. We're going to have a game 7. But I really don't. I want Cleveland to win tonight. Because I want the carryover of this 108-year thing. I just do. Because, listen, the Cubs are a good team, so we'll go through it again next year. Why snuff it now?
You know, it's funny you say that. Do you not remember like a week ago I mentioned this article I had read or something I had seen that basically said that a lot of people, it's almost bittersweet because for a long time the Boston Red Sox had the curse of the Bambino. They hadn't won in a long time, and then they broke that spell and won the World Series. And they've been a great team for like half a decade, almost a decade. Well, if the Cubs win the World Series, that whole...
Listen, baseball's steeped in folklore
sure,
and stories.
But that's
history.
One of the longest ones.
Oh, no, I know. And I'd say we're going to lose it.
The legacy of futility.
The Cubs win tonight. That's gone. I don't want it gone.
Yeah, but you know where it's now the focus is going to go to. I understand.
What?
I understand you. I get you.
The focus is going to go on.
The focus after the... If the Cubs win, where does the legacy of futility go? I'll tell you where it goes, my friend.
No, it
yes, it does.
It
yes,
does
it does.
Cleveland hasn't won since 48.
Cleveland, Schmeveland.
There's lots of teams in professional sports that have
worse
won.
Than the Leafs.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, but so Leafs aside, a lot of baseball fans are thinking the same thing. That's just you know, if the Cubs win, then what? Then that thing. How long should it go for? 200 years?
Even Cubby fans, part of them, even if they lose tonight, it's still going to be all right because the team is just so good that adventure will continue for them as well.
So you never want them to win?
No.
Well, eventually, but I'm just.
But I'm the opposite. I'd like to actually be alive when it happens, and I anticipate.
Alive? Tonight you won't even be awake.
No. What I was going to say is I anticipate that I should still be alive in about 12 hours, but you never know. Yeah. You never know. I don't like to make any promises. Yes, I'll still be awake at.
Pull the
game
right
starts at 8 o'clock Eastern, and like most baseball games, it'll be over around 1 a.m. It's too long, man. These baseball games are going forever.
No, a great game 7. I mean, even if you're not into watching baseball on television,
yeah, cool.
A game 7 of the World Series can sort of keep you interested.
You can PBR it and fast forward through it.
Mm-hmm. We're pretty lucky to have this gentleman here. He has just recorded his second comedy album. Quickly became number one on iTunes. We know how to play that game too, okay, pal? He is his latest is called "Demons Are Eating My Head." Say hey, everybody! It's Chris Locke. Look at him. Woo! Chris Locke is here.
Hello. Good morning,
Chris.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, dude.
I'm trying to be a morning person. It's great.
Yeah. How old is your kid?
7 months.
Jesus.
Yeah. They grow up so fast, don't they?
Yeah. Just seemed like yesterday they were crawling out of my wife's vagina.
Yeah.
And now look at her. She's crawling around the floor.
On our bed, too. It was a home birth.
Mm-hmm. What?
Get out. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We ruined a bed for her.
You're one of those?
Yeah, that's right.
Wait a second. You're going to homeschool.
You're one of those.
Are you going to homeschool this kid?
I'm a dirty boy.
Yeah, you're a dirty home birther. Are you going to homeschool it, too?
Yeah, that's right. I'm going to basically just make it watch Luke Cage on Netflix.
This is interesting. Oh. Was the child conceived on the bed it was born on?
No, because my wife was working. Oh, God, this is really detailed morning. My wife was working on the TV show Mr. D.
Oh.
And so I visited her in Halifax for one night. Mm-hmm. And
one night in Halifax.
One romantic night in Halifax.
And then Mr. D.
Anyway.
You were conceived while Jerry D was watching.
Yeah, they have fresh
seafood. So she was working with your Mr. D.
That's right. Yeah, I'm going to pitch my own Mr. D to television as well. Yeah.
Anyway, you slid into Halifax, slid into her.
Yeah.
And the rest is history.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I thought I was going to make my wife look bad on this show, but you guys are
no. Well, yeah,
she's not bad.
She's
your wife.
She's your wife. You came in.
Well, let me just say it's not so easy. It's not so easy to slide in right away. All right, you got to take your time. You
know? Right.
We got 14-year-old kids here. Why don't you give them some details?
Oh, you'll see,
children. He's referring to something called foreplay.
It has a lot to do with some kissing and titty touching. We'll give you the illustration later. Back to Chris Locke.
Oh, the mother's going to be upset.
My baby is a
there will be parts of this show we are not going to be taking home to Peterborough with us.
My baby is a daughter, so I am never going to have these chats with her.
Oh, you think not. Mm. But my friend, you will.
Oh, boy.
So you did the home birth. So you had a midwife. Now, for a while there in the 90s, I was doing some midwifery on the side, so...
Is that true?
No, not even remotely.
Did you have dreads, by the way?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Of course. And Chris, I smelled of patchouli.
Yeah, oh, very nice.
Chris, did you have to be talked into this? Was this your wife's idea? Like, where do you get the balls to do that?
In regards to her having a baby and her decorating our apartment, it's the same thing. I'm just like, sure.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I have no
idea.
Did
any part of you say, no, I want to be at a hospital where it's safe and sound and everything's going to be cool?
Yeah.
Well, hospitals are cold and they try to get you out of there right away. They're like, here's your baby. Here's a bag of cheesies. Get out of here.
That's right. That's right. Here's your baby. Take some candy. Get the fuck up. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like a shitty dentist.
Yeah. That's really funny. So you're at home and it's like...
Are you watching it?
I can't fight.
My ass.
I can't. This is you at home.
So bad. My ass hurts so bad. My ass hurts so bad.
That's what the neighbors want to hear.
Yeah, but you know what? When your wife is going, my ass hurts so bad, what the midwives do, which is good, they turn that into a, See what I mean? Yeah. I don't think they do that in the hospital.
No. How long was the labor and delivery?
15 hours.
Yeah, it's a long one. The first one's often takes
hours.
Forever.
Yeah, of my wife moaning like a haunted house on the bed there while the onions were falling out of my hamburger onto the bed. Like, are you okay? I was getting mayonnaise. Like,
and was she screaming, my ass hurts so bad?
Yeah, she was like, my ass hurts.
Because of hemorrhoidal tissue?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
No, that was not her. Problem. Oh, no, wait. You think that was for real?
I just put that on.
I thought it was his wife.
No, all I did was Google woman screaming during labor, and then it came up, my ass hurts so bad, I thought that would work.
Hey, these young comics nowadays, I thought maybe he threw that up on his wife.
Fred was thinking, oh, Jesus Christ, I have to find a way to be polite now.
Fred was thinking, is that thing a part of demons are eating my head?
Yeah,
Chris Locke can be heard on Sirius XM, as I mentioned. Yeah. As an actor, he has appeared on Mr. D.
That's right, as her husband.
He's also appeared on the Ron James Show as an interpreter for what Ron James is saying.
Do you know I'm in one sketch, and I play a guy that shoots him in the head?
Well, there you go.
Do you guys like that?
It's when you shoot him in the head and then he starts talking normal.
That's right. Mr. James, you've had a stroke. Well, that's interesting. Finally, we understand what you're saying.
Yeah. Happened to this Cape Breton beat poetry? Yeah.
That's it. That's the phrase. Cape Breton beat poetry. Cape Breton's Jack Kerouac. Yeah, because sometimes the fucking guy's talking about things and then his Champlain came across the fucking plains and then when the fucking happened.
Oh, I tell you, bye. Yeah, I don't know.
He's a great guy, though. Isn't he a great guy?
He's very lovely. He's always been very lovely and supportive to my wife and I. And,
very nice.
My dad, Ron James telling my dad that my wife and I were very funny was the one validation for my dad for me as a comedian.
Oh, that's good.
He was like, okay.
Where's your dad from?
Well, he was from here, but he moved to PEI.
I was going to say, it's just amazing where Ron rolls through those towns and the following he has.
And my dad passed away this summer. So wherever you are, remember the Ron James thing?
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Yeah, you figure your dad's up in my residence above here because you figured your dad's ashes are somehow in my house above.
How many dead bodies do you have upstairs?
I have several dead bodies. It's funny because oftentimes people go, well, Dan, if you're up there watching, and my father's been dead 10 years, and I hope he's not fucking watching what I'm up to because some of it's not for...
Not for parents.
Not for parents. If my dad's ghost is hanging around with me, I hope he takes a break in the afternoon sometime. If you know what I'm saying, Lockie.
We spend our whole lives hiding all the bad things from our fathers, and then when they die, they just get to spy on us? That's not fair.
No, exactly.
Yeah, we had a ghost expert in here the other day, and that's what we were talking about. It's like, if you actually think about it for a while, if ghosts can come back, whoever dies wants to be a ghost. And they can be anywhere at any time. It's like, holy shit.
Wait, who is this person you're talking to?
He was a ghost whisperer.
It's like, you know, I'm not going to leave the house.
Is this place clean then?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Were there ghosts here at the time?
No. It was because it was Halloween and he came in and was just talking about ghosts.
So you had a child. Mm-hmm. Your baby girl is 7 months old. What's her name?
Amy Moon.
Amy Moon. Yeah. Freaky. Of course her name's Amy Moon. You had a birth at home.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Her name is Amy Moonbeam. She's made of hemp and butterfly wings.
Yeah. She's at home right now really stoned.
Yeah, of course, because a lot of your midwifery surrounds giving them a little bit of baby weed.
Yeah, she got a whiff of the midwifes.
So what do you do? You're trying to better yourself for having a child.
Yeah,
say.
Well, aren't we all? I mean,
sure.
Well, you're not.
We're past that.
That's true. Yeah,
I was going to better myself, but I got tired.
Yeah, you're like, just grab him in the goddamn pussy, son.
Yeah. Hey, there's kids here.
Hey, come on.
Wait, he said it? What? Oh, come on.
You can't.
Don't ever do that.
Oh, listen, Golden, it's fine. It's fine. Listen, I know all about grabbing pussy.
For you kids, don't ever do that until you become a celebrity. That's all. That's all that Donald Trump meant.
That's right. And being, by the way, being a celebrity can be the most popular person in high school. Grab them. Grab them and run.
Yeah, you should have seen Drake when he was on Degrassi. Ooh, boy.
Used to come on the... So how are you bettering yourself for baby Amy Moon Pie?
I don't think I am, but I'm trying to like get smart and read books and stuff, but it's impossible. My brain is just, I'm at the level where I know I can't get smart anymore. Yeah. And that's what's freaking me out. Like when I try to think, I can't remember words. Like if I'm having a conversation with people, and I can't remember the word. I go into my mind, try to visualize. All I can visualize in my head is miles and miles of macaroni and cheese. Nowhere. And then I move the mac and cheese with my hand, and the more mac falls into the hole. And then 2 days later, in the pitch black, like crickets chirping, I'm like, ambiguous, that was the word. And no one is near me.
It's funny that, you know, I said that to my daughter the other day. I was trying to describe something to her, and I spent my whole life reading quite a bit, and I said to her, I was about to say a word, whatever it was, I said, no, Daddy's lost that word. Mm-hmm. And she goes, what do you mean, Daddy? I said, never coming back.
See, yeah, that's the thing. You've gone past it. I'm at the freak out stage.
Well, yeah, because you're still a young man. You have your whole life to live. I'm not even sure I'm going to make game 7 tonight.
Yeah, I have no idea what advice to give a kid. Like, I've been trying to think of it. What am I going to say? Like, oh, wear a larger shirt when you go to an Indian buffet. Like, that's my best advice.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and you know, because you're gonna have conversations with Amy Mann.
I wish Amy Mann, but unfortunately, it's just Amy Moon.
So it's a home birth. The child's named Amy Moon. Are we to assume that the kid will be raised like not being able to eat chocolate and treats? And
I thought you were gonna say raised by wolves.
Yeah.
Well, she, you know what I mean? Wolves.
Well, she'd be raised by a wolf on the nights.
A vegan
wolf.
Full moon. Are you vegan?
Yeah. No, we're not super hippy dippy. Look, let me tell you the real story behind Moon. It's very touching. You guys will cry. My wife's grandmother and grandfather are both dead upstairs watching us right now.
Sure they are.
And they were true love, a lovey dove, and his nickname for her was Moon.
Aw, that is beautiful.
There you go. There is an actual functional.
So you're not trying to be cool and groovy. There's an actual.
But I also love the moon and would get nude and dance in front of it anytime.
No, I. That's
not my
cool.
daughter, the real Moon. Thanks. I got this guy. You guys are busy.
But have you discussed that? Is the child going to be shielded from much horror?
It's like, can you just see 5-6 years from now? Yeah. Daddy, what is it, Moon? Can I have some chocolate or fun? No.
No.
No fun or chocolate for you, Moon.
I think the best thing to shelter her from would be Facebook.
Yes.
To be honest.
Oh, good luck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because you'll be all like, oh, I'm not, because she's not going to have a cell phone, blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, she's going to have like one of those douchey earpieces by, you know, age 3.
Oh, yeah. She's going to be watching movies on the inside of her eyeballs.
I know this young woman who babysits a child that's not allowed to have any treats of any kind. So when it's treat time, when all the kids are around, all the other kids get neat little chocolates, and this kid gets like seeds in a bowl or something.
It's like, oh my, what do you got? I've got a Mr. Big. What about you? I've got hummus and carrots.
Yeah, no,
it's even worse than that. It's even worse than that.
I like carrots and hummus.
Seeds, just seeds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not going to torture my daughter like that. She's going to have fun.
That's good. So, well, what about food though? Because I know that's a concern for you and Mrs. Moon. Mrs. Chris. What's your wife say?
Kathleen Phillips, very funny comedian and writer.
Oh my God, we love Kathleen. Food's a concern though.
Well, for me, yeah. I mean, I'm trying to get healthy because I want to, like you said, live longer. Because my doctor told me that my body is stupid the other day.
What do you mean?
Well, he just he took all my blood tests and was like, man, you're dumb. Basically.
Listen, I'm a doctor. I don't know that there's a blood test to tell how stupid you are.
I don't think you're... Are you a doctor?
Yes, absolutely.
Dr. Humble?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
But listen, if I believe it, it must be true.
See, my doctor is not humble. He was bragging about
how stupid you are.
He is and how dumb I am.
So he said your blood work shows us that you're stupid.
Yeah. He says, I'm stupid. I got to stop eating everything I love. So I'm freaking out about that.
How old are you?
I don't have a written bit about that, but that's just true.
Mm-hmm. How old are you?
I'm going with it.
I'm 38. I'm dead.
Oh, yeah. 38? At 38, you're getting these bad results?
Yeah.
Oh, gee. Yeah, you better get on that, brother.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hey. Well, I live the road life as a comedian. It's gross. It's bad out there.
Hey, kids. If this is current, hey, Vancouver.
Yeah.
Chris will be in your town on this Saturday. That's just a couple days from now. That means you're going to have to skedaddle.
I know.
Get on that plane.
See you later, Amy. Don't eat chocolate.
But that's Little Mountain Gallery. You're playing a gallery on Saturday night. So while people are like walking around looking at... Hey, everybody. Food's a bitch, isn't it?
They call it a gallery, but it's actually a theater.
Okay.
I regret putting gallery in the piece of paper you're holding.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to make this seem natural. Give me a break.
Oh, hey. No, I break the fourth wall every time.
Yeah, me too.
Can you give us an example of one of your jokes?
He just has for the last 12 minutes. Where do you think these fucking questions came from? He's trying to better himself. That doesn't come out of air.
You're not paying attention, Fred. You're doodling on your notepad. I'm going to bring this whole thing down.
Bring it down.
I'm going to tell the truth. You haven't looked me in the eye once.
Are
you
afraid
of me? Are you afraid of meeting new people after all these years?
No, I'm just freaked out about people who have their babies on a bed at home. That's all.
That's not that scary. It's still a bed. At least it was rocks down by Lake Ontario.
Where's your next baby going to be born? At fucking IKEA on a Saturday afternoon?
That's right.
It's like, we don't want to fuck up the bed.
I would love that.
Sweetie, we don't want to fuck up another bed. Let's just have the kid. Why don't you have your placenta in the demo bed?
Yeah, as soon as the baby's born, I just tell everyone, hey, this bed's 50% off.
You didn't eat the placenta, did you? I know that's a big thing nowadays, too. Like, fuck.
It's still in the freezer bothering me.
Of course it is. I'm hungry. Is there anything to eat? Hey, I could thaw this placenta.
Do you have your babies at the hospital, and when they're born, you're like, all right, let's get out of here.
Yeah,
if you have your baby at home, as soon as it's born, you clean the cat hair off it, you eat Doritos, and you watch Netflix. It's beautiful.
It is a beautiful thing.
Well, that ship has sailed for me.
Okay.
Yeah, the next thing that's going to happen on your bed will be some of your organs and shit falling out of you.
Yeah.
Like, Fred, you never know. Fred, what is that? I believe my colon is ass.
Hey, Mick Jagger is going to be a dad. Isn't he a lucky duck? And he's what, 83?
Well, he's, 89. I think he's 73, but that is wild, eh? That seed is still good. And wow, it's wild.
Jagger seed.
Yeah. Jagger seed. Well, maybe. I don't know. Maybe he froze some seed 30 years ago when he was 60.
You think of it having a... you
know, that's not much better, really.
You know, or maybe he's a celebrity. He has, like, sperm enhancers. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, somehow they robotically insert some... I know it doesn't matter.
I think when he meets a hot young girl after a concert now, he just gives them a cold vial of his old sperm.
Yeah, probably.
That's right. That's good. He gives them... here, shake this home. I'm too tired. Just throw this on your breasts. I'm sorry.
No, it isn't.
Sorry, boys.
Here, take this vial of my sperm and then send me a picture of it on your titties. Okay, so I think we've had a great time with Chris Locke. I feel like we have.
Are you going to have more babies on the
Fred's
bed? Or is
mad
that
at me.
I just,
no, I'm not.
Are you going to have more babies on the bed or what?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I can't stop.
Seriously, why even go home? Have it at fucking Mandarin.
It's true. Yeah.
Seriously. You know, it's like...
Save the time.
Yeah, go get
time
some...
Time seems to be a big factor
yeah, go
for
get
you.
Some, go get some crab legs and then
well,
dump
time
your...
is a factor. I think, like, don't... like, I don't even know... Like, here's... Honestly, I think... The future is, like, basically the same future as Terminator 2. So what am I going to do? I have to have kids now before the robots come. Don't you have anything like that?
Exactly.
Without a doubt, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And great seeing Chris Locke in our studio.
That's how I'm going out, baby.
The demons are eating my head. The demons are eating my head. He is here. Yeah. You will see him in Vancouver at the Vancouver Gallery, Little Mountain Gallery. Also coming up in Halifax, Montreal, Ottawa, Kingston, and Cornwall. Once again, can't say Cornwall without thinking cornhole. So that's my particular problem. Chris, I hope you've enjoyed your time here.
I have.
At
good morning.
Chris Locke Fun on Twitter.
That's right.
And some other stuff as well.
I'm getting followers. It's beautiful. Thanks for having me.
All right.
No
very
problem.
Nice.
Say hi to Ron James for us. In fact, tell him for us. He'll know what we mean.
Champlain across the prairies. And now, irrespective or no, regardless of nothing that came before, apropos of nothing, we say Sleep Country Canada is the place in this country to... Let's get a picture of Chris, by the way. If you're in this land and you're thinking about getting a new bed, Phil...
How about the Simmons Hot Buy?
Hot Buy.
Yeah. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, man.
$749 for a queen set. This is top quality, okay? Top quality. It's the Hot Buy of the week. If you go to sleepcountry.ca, check out their e-flyer. It's one of the many things on sale this week at Sleep Country Canada. If you go on site, go see a sleep expert. They're fantastic. They'll make sure that you, your body type, your situation, you're put onto the right mattress, into the right bed. Sleep Country Canada. Why buy a mattress anywhere else?
Yeah. Alba Mitsubishi Motors. And I'm being serious when I say this, so please, just take it all in. When I think about the fact that we have Sleep Country Canada and we have Mitsubishi Motors of Canada and all the lovely people that have, you know, sponsored this program, The reason it's, you know, it's novel like anything else, when I see that we're about to talk about Mitsubishi, it makes me feel like, you know, we must be doing something.
Oh,
what do you think?
Oh,
you
I'm
think
underlining, and I'm taking a big highlighter and putting it across what you just said.
Well, it is pretty cool. It's remarkable that we're able to tell you about the no-charge winter tire package, up to $1,400 in extra value with the purchase of select new vehicles. Lots of people are talking about the 10-year warranty, but let me just mention, you know, some of those cool cars that you're seeing out in the road, the Outlander, the Lancer, the RVR, the Lancer Sportback, and you're wondering, who makes those? I'll tell you who. Mitsubishi, that's who. And, of course, check out the 10-year, 160,000-kilometer powertrain limited warranty only from Mitsubishi. If you're in the southern Ontario area, GTAMitsubishi.ca. We'll be back around North America live from the storefront, Squatty Potty storefront studio on the Queensway. It's historic, really.
Truly historic.
Why don't you, Dan Duran us into break by telling people to come back and all that stuff.
We're not going anywhere. We don't want you going anywhere.
Okay.
Please stay where you are.
Stay
tuned for more.
Stay tuned.
The Humble and Fred Show.
We'll be right back after this.
All
right.
This is Sophie Buttle, and you're listening to Canada Laughs.
So far away, doesn't anybody stay in one place anymore? It would be so fine to see your face at my door. Doesn't help to know you're just time away. Long ago I reached for you and
Humble, I have a Fred. Humble and Fred.
Yeah. Macaque.
I have a Humble. Macaque. I have a Fred.
Around North America.
Macaque. Humble and
live
Fred.
Live from the streets.
I like it.
Of Etobicoke. We're on the west end of Toronto, just about 10 minutes from downtown. I say 10 minutes like physically, but it's about 35 minutes in traffic. We're very, very excited. We're going to have a visit from our friends, The Heartbroken.
I like it.
Featuring Stuart Cameron, Blake Manning, Peter Fusco, or Fusco. Is it Fusco? Fusco. I'm sorry, Peter. And the very lovely Dabnet Doyle will be. She's here. They're here. And we're going to get them up and singing in a little bit.
We're going to find out why they're heartbroken. Why are they heartbroken, Howard?
I don't know, man. Huh? But, you know, they've actually. You guys have played before in our show, haven't you? Yeah. Yeah, it's happened.
They were heartbroken then.
Yeah, still heartbroken after all these years. That was fun having Chris Locke on the show. Great segment talking about home birth. And
that you know,
oh, I mean, no, it does.
It takes some balls, but I mean, you know, it's the new era. A lot of people are into that stuff, and they have complete confidence in having their kid at home.
No, I know.
Back in the 80s, there it would have freaked me out.
But you think
about
it.
It would have been a mistake. Like, we didn't get to the hospital quick enough. Oh, no, she had the kid on the bed.
No, I know, and especially I can't imagine you going, oh, you're going to ruin the bed at $7,000. But you think about it, you say it's a new thing, but imagine, you know, 150 years ago, 100 years ago, all people did.
Everything old is new again.
You know, back when I was a kid, we used to, in the grass hut or dirt floor hut, we used to have.
They used to squat and have kids in the fields while they were working.
Exactly. And they went back to picking bagels. Yeah. That's what we did. We were bagel farmers in Saskatchewan. Very few people know that about us. Well, you guys are Jews on the prairies. Oh, yeah, we were bagel farmers. And in the morning, we go out there, we pick the bagels off the bagel tree, Dan. Mm-hmm. That's what we did.
The bagel tree.
You're a Western Canadian. You've seen it.
I was in Alberta, though.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
You went to the meat bush.
That's right. We picked steaks.
Picked meat off the bush.
Steaks and pork loins.
Here's an interesting story. So Dan Duran is here. It's take your grade nine to work day. Dan doesn't all of Colton's, your son Colton's, everybody he knows, they all work from home.
Yeah.
So literally, this is the only place he could think of where somebody actually went to some place to do something, and it turns out that I live above the store.
Yeah.
Like the family in Kim's Convenience.
Exactly like that.
So it's really quite sad.
Thank you for being here, you guys, because really, bringing my kid here was a really interesting decision on my part.
Like, really, what other choices were there? Well, you could go and see Howard and Fred work, or I guess you could just follow me around the house for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
Colton, did you have any? There's Colton again. Where's my boy? Hey, Colton.
Hello.
Do you know that? Have you looked around? There's some pretty cool people there. Yeah, that's Dabney Doyle and some of her friends.
Hey, buddy. Nice to meet you.
Yeah, he's. So, what do you think so far? Are things going okay for you and Tyler?
I think they are.
Yeah. Phil offered you any cashews? Because you're not authorized for cashews yet.
Well,
that's an after-show snack.
Well, Tyler started eating some cashews, so.
Are you serious?
Did you wash your hands before you put them into the jar?
Tyler?
Oh, no.
Tyler?
What?
No, that's a great question. Give the mic to Tyler.
Let's see his fingernails.
No, seriously. Mm-hmm. How old are you?
14.
14. And I made you guys wash your hands last night before dinner, didn't I? I said, go wash your hands before you stick them all over this pizza. And now you've taken your grubby 14-year-old boy hands and sullied our cashews. I hope your parents have insurance.
You didn't dig real deep into the jar, did you?
No.
Good. Oh, boy.
Poor Tyler. He's like, this is great. What did you do when you went to grade 9 work day? I got yelled at by old people. That's great.
They can't wait till it's 9 o'clock.
Oh, God. Neither can I.
And they can bury their heads back in their computers.
Great deal for them, eh? So, like, they're actually going to finish their at work at school, school, whatever it is, day.
Right.
By the time their actual school would start.
No, I know.
So
really, it's like a day off.
It is. Mm-hmm. Well, it's a day off. They come and hang out with, their dad and me, and then they have pizza, and they went to bed late, and they get to hang around this nonsense. Before we get to the heartbroken and find out what's going on with them, speaking of jobs, this is interesting because Dan Duran brought this to our attention, that there's a morning show in Toronto looking for a new player. And I think originally it was, for Dan, but I see that, it might be the kind of gig for you and I.
They're looking to add a new cast member to
That's
the
right.
ensemble. They have an ensemble.
Are you thinking?
This is one of the biggest, biggest radio stations with one of the most high profile announcers in the city of Toronto, the largest market in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
So proceed.
Well, and what we're about to say, with all due respect, is we don't want anything to get in the way of perhaps Dan getting this gig.
No, because he'd be perfect.
Are you thinking, I'd love to work at Q107 in Toronto and specifically with John Derringer? Okay. Well, good news. We're looking to add a new cast member to our ensemble. Think Elaine or George joining Seinfeld. Okay. This is truly an exciting opportunity, and the successful candidate will need to bring a lot. And then they tell you what you'll need to bring and how to apply. And so he said to me last night, he says, I'm thinking of doing this. And what do you think? I said, I think that would be an interesting gig for you, where you get up and go into Toronto and you're on the John Derringer show and.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't get much more high profile than that, Dan.
But you've worked in that building, and you know John, right?
Mm-hmm. No, we both know John. Sure.
Well, it's funny you say that, too, because part of the thing is what we need from you, good in the halls plays well with others. That's a standard chorus request. I know that, having worked with them. And I think Dan would be very good in the halls, don't you, Howard?
I think Dan would not only be good in the halls, but he would repair whatever.
That's right.
He would look around the halls and go, this caulking needs to be redone. Or
remember how good he was with the engineers, like with Geats? Remember, he was very good with giving his opinion on what he thought might need to be done. Only being helpful, not aggravating.
Absolutely. No, not at all.
No.
No, I can't imagine. And then, now I can't understand. Mm. Would you be Elaine or George? And which one of those people? Is Seinfeld. More like, do you want to join one of the houses from Game of Thrones? Do you want to be storming other castles and
constantly be under duress.
I was trying to imagine what they actually are looking for, because I don't think that's a... I don't think that goes well with the Derringer idea, Lane or George in there.
Let me ask you, do you understand the positive Q culture?
Yes, I do, and I work well with others.
Does it say that there?
Ability to work well in a group dynamic.
Dan, applicants are invited to send a scoped 2-hour air check of one of your recent shows. I think you should send this one. The first thing he hears is live from Go Fuck Yourself.
I don't think anybody over there would sit through 2 hours of this.
You know, the funny thing is, I'm sure nobody over there has sat through 2 minutes of this in 5 years. They've not heard 60 seconds of it.
But isn't it interesting? I mean, I have my theories on this, that such a major league morning show would have to reach out like this. You think they could sort of identify any talent across the country and just reach out and pluck them. They wouldn't have to go through this exercise.
Are you saying,
know what I'm saying?
Yeah, are you saying this is just one of those things that companies do where they post a job they've already filled?
I would think someone's already has this job, and yes, it's the company policy that you have to post it so that everyone else in the company actually thinks they had a shot at it when they didn't.
Well, you would know that because you used to be a program director.
Yes.
And of course, you're renowned the world over as Caper Boss.
Because there's so many people going, why didn't I get a shot at that job? Well, we posted it.
Applications are encouraged from qualified women, men. Notice women first on this list. Qualified women, men, visible minorities, minorities, Aboriginal peoples, and persons with disabilities. Now, the funny thing is I read that quickly, and I looked ahead and I thought, what do you mean persons with diabetes? Why do people with diabetes need to apply? If you have an insulin issue, we want you part of this show.
Well, and, you know, Dan, you qualify there because you've bashed your head so many times.
That I might have a disability?
Yes.
What about you guys? Maybe you should apply to be the sidekick.
It's Derringer with Humble and Fred in the morning. Fucking 3 hours of, you're a fucking idiot. No, you're an idiot. Can you imagine?
No, I can't imagine.
Well, you haven't burned that bridge. He still, I'm sure, thinks very highly of you. You probably, listen, I wouldn't stand in your way. Pally and Fred. wouldn't that be the best?
Derringer and Fred. No, I couldn't do the 4 hours. Sorry.
Oh, that would be the barrier.
Oh, yeah.
Dab, you sit right here, my loveliest. That's where you're going to sit.
I've lost. I'm not conditioned for 4 hours anymore, Howard.
Well, who knows?
Even though over those 4 hours, you probably talk a lot less than we talk here in the 2 hours.
You think?
Oh, yeah.
Like a lot less. Let's talk if before
I'd have trouble sitting through Pink Floyd and Zeppelin.
Yeah.
Over and over again.
Over and over again. Yeah.
It's like every day over there is like Groundhog Day. Here's another 45-minute rock ride of the same shit you heard at this time yesterday. I'll tell you what's different is this company.
Hey.
How about pizza? While we get the heartbroken settled down, let's talk about our good friends at Pizza Pizza.
We had Pizza Pizza last night.
Oh, yeah, that's right. How great was that? We got a small and a large and some potato wedges and some pops and the whole thing.
And meatballs, believe it or not.
Yeah, that was a weird thing.
Yeah.
It's like we just literally at Pizza.
I bet you they were good,
They were, apparently. I don't eat meatballs, but you guys thought they were amazing. And you can just randomly order them from the same place you order the potato wedges and the all of it, you know?
And you can do it online. There's an app or something you can order.
What else you got over there, Fred, man? Oh, it's not working? Oh, okay.
I got on my thing. I can't get it.
Okay. Well, basically, that's all you need to know. You need to know that Pizza Pizza has a variety of things. Is your computer not working?
No, it's slow.
Oh, I see.
It's hooked in now.
So go to pizzapizza.ca as well. Look at all the different things. That's what I wanted to make a point about, which is that there's so many different things to eat at Pizza Pizza that you'll never need to go anywhere else, like for anything. That's all I have to say. Hey, Dab, what's going on, man?
Hey.
Hold on. There. Hi. Just get right in there, baby girl.
All right.
Yeah, all right. Here's Dabna Doyle.
Hello.
What's going on?
I'm just really thinking that, Dan, if you're really thinking about this gig, you should get out of here right now.
That's all right.
It's well
said. It's tarnishing my reputation.
Oh, absolutely. That's... Like,
whatever chance you thought you had at it is now no longer. So
Blair Bartram will be doing a little search.
Is no one else playing?
Yeah.
We're all playing.
Let's get playing then, people. Dabna Doyle's here. Stuart Cameron. And Blake Manning.
Yeah.
Blake, how are you?
Fantastic. How are you?
Grab on some of these microphones. Oh. Dan, let's get we need some microphones.
You know, so far we've only had one musical performance in this.
Really?
Yeah, it was Lucas Rossi.
Oh, yeah.
Was that his name?
Yeah, screaming.
And then, he sang a really down song about his mom dying. Are you going to be a little aggressive? Are you going to be a little more upbeat today?
Do you have any songs about death that you'll be favoring us with?
They're all about death.
We'll do the single first, and then we can do a multitude.
Is it light and bouncy?
About death.
Listen, everyone.
We can do that.
Dabna Doyle and the Heartbroken, along with Blake Manning. Peter, where's Peter?
Right here.
What's up, Pete?
How you doing?
And Stuart Cameron. I get the feeling that I've met. I know you guys have come in before, but did I not meet some of these guys when you and
you guys
all work together with you and all the people.
Same guys.
All right. Well, this is exciting.
Tight knit group.
What's the Heartbroken been up to, Dabna Doyle?
Oh, a bit of this, a bit of that. We all work at Pizza Pizza.
Okay. There's nothing wrong with that. It's
all
highly...
kinds of pizzabilities there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, mm-hmm. Huge pizza.
You can scratch and match one of 10 trips for 40 Universal Orlando.
Finally found it. All right.
Okay. I would like some potato
load up
wedges.
The squatty potty. Oh, the potato wedges were amazing.
Let's get some of those meatballs and let's try out the squatty potty. That's what I say.
By the way, it's open for business downstairs, the squatty potty.
I got to see it. Is it really there?
Yeah, of course.
I got to check it out.
Seriously, if you're not using a squatty potty, where are you? What are you?
So it's a communal
right into here.
Potty, a communal squatty potty.
Yeah, but only your feet touch
Only your
it.
Feet get up on the
see,
stool.
That freaks me out a little. I have
get
a friend.
Closer,
I,
get closer.
You're not eating off it while you go.
I was at a friend's house once, and they were showing us the renovations that they had done. It's like, and here's the washroom, and went to look in. They went, oh, don't look in there. And there was a squatty potty there, and they were really embarrassed about it.
Why?
Please don't say that.
Yeah. We'll just strike this.
But they were.
Okay, you don't need to get any closer to the mic than you are.
They should have been. They're weird people. They should have been proud of it because they have happy colons.
Yeah. Right now, you wouldn't be telling that story if you had a squatty potty because your poo would come out like soft serve ice cream, and you know that.
Fascinated by the squatty potty.
Well, we're going to show. We're going to give you a demo later. Stuart, thank you for your offering. Peter, do you have anything to say about our sponsors? Are you cool with all
no,
of
I'm
them?
I'm cool with squatty potty.
Okay,
I checked it out down there.
Why don't you grab your own microphone? We have another microphone for you.
Hi.
There, is that working?
It's working, I guess.
So, Dab, what's going to happen right now?
Well, we're going to play a song for you all, for y'all.
And who is everyone singing?
Me up.
Just these two.
So maybe we could borrow your microphone, just to, if you wouldn't mind. Here, what's your name again? Colton, come over here. We're going to give something to do.
We got something to do.
Okay, Colton, you just aim that microphone at this lovely lady's guitar.
Oh, amazing.
Okay?
But Colton, don't sing along.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's my godson. His name is Colton.
Don't mess this up.
Don't mess this up. What are we going to hear, Heartbroken?
This is our single. It's called Tearing Me Up. Tearing Me Up.
Who are you? You're not sure what the single's called?
No,
this is our new single. It's called Tears for Fears.
Somebody introduced it, Tearing Me Up, yesterday. So that's what it will forever be known as.
Tearing?
But it is. It's called Tearing Me Up.
Is this a song of anguish?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
And now, please welcome the Heartbroken and another song of anguish called Tearing Me Up.
One, two, three, four.
Hunting dogs, sniffing love, lightning rods. You come back and say, what's your worry? You're always mad. Why do I hurry? Don't ask any questions. You don't want the answers to. Tearing me up. Tearing me up inside. Tearing me up. Tearing me up. Tearing me up. Tearing me up inside.
sick of the pain on the kitchen floor, the chips away from the swing of the door that I kicked it in 100 times before. You get off and I give in and I lose myself with each ounce of skin. Come looking for something I'm too prepared to give. Tearing me up, tearing me up inside. Tearing me up, tearing me up inside. You don't give a damn about what I need. Gotta press the one, stop the beat. Only care about what you are. I know it's killing me, but I can't stop. I know it's killing me, but I can't stop. But I can't stop. Tearing me up, tearing me up inside. Tearing me up, tearing me up inside. Tearing me up, tearing me up inside. Tearing me up, tearing me up. Tearing me up, tearing me up inside. Where did you go when you left my bed?
Amazing, you guys. Great job. Wow. Yay. That's what we're talking
Colton
about.
Colton was awesome as a mic stand.
Yes, Colton did very nicely. Thank you, Colton. Taking your grade 9 to work day. And this is all part of the experience in the report you don't have to write. Mm-hmm. Very nice. Dabnet, thank you so much. Stuart Cameron, Blake Manning, and Peter Fuska. Dakota Tavern tonight. What a great venue to see these guys. In fact, I think you were part of Andrea's Four Chords. True. That's the last time I saw you at the Dakota.
Yeah.
That was sometime last year or something, wasn't it?
Yes.
All right. Well, it's a great place to see this group.
That's it?
What's, I'm sorry, what?
You don't just get to shoot the shit with you for a little bit?
Yeah, hang on if you want, man. If you're going to shoot the shit, get right on that microphone, sister.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It just keeps breaking up.
No, it doesn't?
A little bit.
Yeah, we're working on some technical stuff here. I'm not going to lie to you. Things aren't.
It's become a sub-theme.
Yes. Well, I wish it weren't, but it's part of getting a new studio together. And we've only been in this studio for less than 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
You know, I don't know, you were in our old place. The vibe was different. You know, this is great because, you know, you've been downstairs. That's where our office is. But we wanted to make this a little bit cleaner and all about the studio.
Great.
Yeah, it's cool. It's just that, like in anything, there's some stuff that's going on here that we're not 100%.
You know, we're not a big corp. We don't have an army of engineers behind us.
Yeah.
You don't wish we did.
Huh?
Yeah.
You don't screw the engineers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish.
So are you guys gonna go touring and do this?
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to shoot the shit, we're gonna need a lot faster answers because I got a bunch of nonsense I could get to. So
I just want to talk about the squatty potty.
Well, here's the thing. Everyone in this room that's not using a squatty potty has unfinished business in their colon chamber.
Okay.
Those of us that squatty potty on a regular basis, our colons are unkinked.
You know, your regular posture on the toilet is all wrong.
Yes.
There is a kink in your colon, and you always do leave some, you know, duty up there.
Yeah. Duty.
Getting
these guys, they're going, you know, they're so used to being, you know, quizzed by music journalists. Now we're going, okay, let's talk about what's happening in your colon.
Getting your knees up high, like, you've got to try it. Just like, whoop.
I've been doing that my whole life.
What's that, sir?
I just squat on top of the potty.
Oh, do you?
Yeah,
why not? Phone books.
I use phone books, exactly right.
Well, like now,
there's an old reference, isn't it? Yeah, mm-hmm. I saved the phone
books.
You
know, it's funny you say that. I got in my old place in Oakville, somewhere in the summer, I opened the door and there was the phone book there. I went, what is this giant waste of time? What is this doing here? Anyway.
Or the yellow pages.
No, the yellow pages, yeah.
They still drop them off in front of my place. It's like, really?
Yeah.
Where do you live?
Brampton.
Oh, there you are. There you are.
Well, you know, it's funny. You know, you're right. It wasn't a phone. Well, maybe it was. Because I remember looking at it going, why is this even... Who's doing this? I don't. I need a phone number. Where will I find it? Jesus. Anyway, the Squatty Potty is available at Canadian Tire, Bed Bath & Beyond, Amazon.ca, and SquattyPotty.com. And, of course, all our crowdfunding donators that went over $100. We have that bathroom downstairs that was, I know, a lot of musicians and filmmakers are GoFunding, like, projects about, whatever. Not us. We had the audience pay for the shitter.
No.
There you go.
Yes, we did.
That is incredible.
We crowdfunded the shit out of that shitter.
Wow.
Cost Humble and Fred nothing.
Really? Yeah. I got to check out this bathroom.
Mm-hmm. It's nice. It's really nice.
And on the wall of honor,
yes,
is all the names of the people that donated money.
Wow.
To be part of this GoFundMe campaign.
I've got to see this.
And you know the best part of it is, it's like, the toilet is a lot like a toilet in an airplane, you know, where it flushes with gusto.
Yes.
It eliminates skid marks. None, ever.
Oh,
bang.
Wow.
It's fantastic. Yeah.
So how excited are you now to have been part of this broadcast?
I'm going to finish my coffee. I definitely go downstairs.
Yeah. I have a lot of regret.
Yeah. Well, so do we. You're in the right place. Yeah. This is the Lot of Regrets show. Everyone, we want you to go to at theheartbroken.com, at theheartbroken on Twitter. And God dang it all, you're just lovely people. The Dakota Tonight, what's wrong with you? Go there, enjoy.
Early show.
It is an early show. What time?
Yeah, at 7 to 9.
All right, guys.
Wow.
Well, very nice.
That's good for the older folks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we are the
seven,
older folks.
Yeah, no kidding. Eh? I can't, you know, I know I was talking to you off the air about Kim's, our friend Kim Stockwood's kids, but do you have kids? I can't
remember. Yeah, I have two.
How old are your kids?
Almost 3 and almost 4.
Amazing, eh?
Yeah.
All these, and they're going to grow up. Yeah. Did you have them at home, by the way?
In your bed?
Absolutely not. No.
No.
They.
Do you have one of those, you use one of those stupid hospitals?
Yeah. I did, yeah. I had an emergency C-section, so they actually took all of my organs and put them out on the table.
Yeah, that's what they do. Put them right on the table.
I'm just saying this for Stuart's benefit.
Why, are you having a baby?
No.
I'm a wimp.
Well, it's funny because
I really do have a
get it right on the microphones too.
I am a wimp.
You know, it's funny because when this gentleman Chris Locke is a comic that was on earlier in this hour talking about home birth, I'm thinking most people, you know, they don't want to do anything themselves anymore. But those same people that can't, you know, put together IKEA furniture are spitting out a kid on their bed,
thousand count sheets.
Yeah. With what?
With 1,000 count sheets.
Exactly.
Ruining the good sheets.
But there's a perfect example. What happens if you I want to have my kid at home and on the bed, and then all of a sudden you need a C-section? What happens then? What do? You call 911.
Yeah, I think the way they do it is that the midwife is there, and I think early on they can tell if something's, you know, not where it's supposed to be, and so then they maybe skedaddle to the hospital.
Look, I would have stayed in the hospital for at least a week. They kicked me out after a day and a half. I'm like, you're really sending me home?
Yeah. It was especially with a C-section,
But they did send me home with Oxy, so it was all right.
Nice. Is that where the impetus for tearing me up came from?
Ripping and tearing.
I'm such a bad music journalist. What was the inspiration for going to hell and get me the fuck out of here?
Were both C-sections or just one?
No, actually, one of our children we were fortunate enough to adopt. So that didn't physically hurt me at all.
Yeah. Well, good for you. You're such a better person than we are.
I know.
Mm-hmm. You are. Talented and beautiful.
You got great friends. Yeah. What's wrong with us? All right, listen. I'm heartbroken. Get out.
Thank you.
The Heartbroken, everybody.
Oh, little vintage Kim Stock.
Yeah, baby.
Bye. I just can't stand. Amazing. Thanks for having me.
You're fun.
I just can't stand the way I feel.
Okay, everybody, just a few more minutes left. Just a note. I know we started off by talking about technical things, but I just want to... A note to our 100%ers that often enjoy a few extra minutes of the Humble and Fred show. We have been working, you know, every day basically to try and figure out a way to get some of the extra stuff. We've actually recorded, I don't know, three or four podcast extras that have been, you know, unlistenable. Mm-hmm. And not just for the regular reasons where we just babble at each other. But
and, you know, people are there thinking, how could these professionals who have taken the, you know, undertaken the effort to have a new place, a new studio, how could they find themselves in that predicament?
Well, through no fault of anybody.
No,
and
no.
And I got to tell you, it's not, you know, our friend Jim Carr and other people have been working really hard, and we've sort of tried to narrow down some of the ghosts in the machine today. Dan Duran, who's an audiologist. Is that what you are?
Yeah, sure. I used to do a lot of production work. So you remember that?
I do remember that.
Yeah,
do you know that Dan was my boss for production?
I taught him skills that he can no longer use.
That's not true. Dan was my production boss. And I would, before my air shift, I was under his...
guidance. Under his wing.
Whatever. So I would come in and he would give me things to do before my show. And then I would do my show because we all had to do another job in the radio station.
Was Dan a good boss?
He was a hard taskmaster.
Yeah. And Howard wasn't exactly one of the easiest people to manage, if you know.
Would that have something to do with impatience?
Yeah.
Also, nevertheless.
Thought it was both beneath him. You thought it was beneath you to do the things that you were doing for me.
Well, that's not entirely true, Dan, but I don't have the energy right now to open up a 38-year-old conversation. But I will say this, wind your own fucking carts. Do you remember when people had to do that? We had to wind the carts.
I never had to lower myself to that extent.
Yeah.
I would play the cards.
Yeah, not
and
me.
And I would record on the cards.
So from 8 to midnight, I'm Saskatchewan's most cool disc jockey, Super 8 CHAB, Humble Howard in the house. But from 4 to 6, I was like, I'll fucking wind a card. You fucking wind your own cards. Yeah. Yeah,
so
it was too much.
What he was actually doing was giving you the job.
The menial shit,
he didn't want to do.
Thank you.
Well, you know, that's part of the... It's what we were telling these kids today. Between where you are and where you want to be, Howard, you have to do things you don't want to do.
So let's take a final minute or two here and talk to Colton Lee. And... Yeah, we're still doing the show on the Watchtower or whatever, the Heartbrokener. You want to have your you want to have your PR? Oh, now I'm going to have to yell at Tiffany. Yeah. Tiff, do you want to have your meeting somewhere else, you fuckers?
We have a meeting area downstairs.
Yeah, I have a meeting downstairs.
Anyway, so now as we wrap up another program, just a couple quick notes. David Broadfoot, the comedian from the Air Farce and... really one of the gentle, sweet, funny people in Canada, has finally given up life at age 90.
Didn't he play a Mountie a lot?
Yeah.
Yeah, Sergeant Renfrew.
It was a character. Yeah. You know, I'm not sure if that character may go back to, like, Wayne and Schuster.
He was one of the guys on those Canadian comedy shows, which generally, you know, struggle, used to make me smile.
But that's Wayne and Schuster didn't struggle. It was a great show.
You know what, Howard? Don't have much of a history with that show.
But when you say struggle, I mean, like, there were, you know, there was a generation of Canadians that grew up with his characters on that show that were very well received by the Tommy Hunter crowd. Anyway, he's dead now at age 90. That's too bad. He's a great guy.
I'm sure he got the Order of Canada somewhere along the line. He's been decorated as a great Canadian.
So I would say to you,
like
Colton,
Dan Duran will be once he works with Don Geringer.
Can't imagine it, man. But that's going to be quite... I'll tell you what. You want to talk about a great 1-2 punch. Derringer in the morning. Dan Duran featuring Dan Duran.
Dan in a room with Derringer for a few minutes. Oh, there'll be a punch or two. There will be a punch or two. Yes. However.
Yeah, I wonder how new John will react to this this fellow going, do you really think we should do it this way? Why do we call it the... tool of the day. Why not call it the
Why don't we get a sponsor for that?
I could suppress my inner self more.
Listen,
than I have.
Let's just say in the last couple of seconds, Colton, take your grade 9 to work day. How did that go for you?
That was fun.
You're not going to get any in your head. This is what you want to do for a living, I hope. Don't do that.
I'm not.
No. He's like, yeah. There's nothing about this. Yeah. Any part of this experience that has made this job attractive to me. How about you, Tyler, quickly?
It's fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this is the part where you say, thank you, Mr. Glassman, Patterson, and Colton's dad for bringing me to this...
Yeah.
Rub and tug capital of Toronto.
Any new words that you learned on this show?
Phil Gohan. Tyler, how was your day? Oh, it was great. What was the best part of the day? The nuts. Mm-hmm.
So that's why you hundy peas aren't getting a whole lot of extra stuff. We're trying to solve the problem, and hopefully sometime in the next couple of days there'll be some extra stuff. In the meantime, boys, thanks very much, Bill.
This episode of Humble and Fred Radio is brought to you by Sleep Country, Pizza Pizza, FYI Music News, The Retirement Sherpa, Squatty Potty, FreshBooks, and our newest sponsor, Mitsubishi Motors of Canada. And as always, we broadcast to the world from the center of Canada's universe, Toronto, nestled in the cozy bosom of the Squatty Potty 5-Hour Energy Storefront Studios. More Humble and Fred tomorrow and online at humbleandfredradio.com.